I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, dropping down to verse 10. We've been going through, kind of in outline form, the content of Ephesians, and we come today to the walk as warfare. Now, the Christian life is sometimes thought of as a very pleasant thing, a walk through green pastures and so on. Well, it can have beauty to it, but it should not surprise us that there is conflict. The Scripture warns us very carefully about that. We have a fierce enemy, and many of his followers who wish to derail us from the proper pathway, to turn us aside from God's will and purpose. And we need to be on our guard, watching carefully what is going on. We don't, as Christians, just decide how we're going to walk or where we're going to walk. Those choices belong in the hands of God. God can direct our pathway. He is the Good Shepherd. And God can lead us down the right pathway. But oftentimes, there's conflict. Oftentimes, hardship. And none of this is an accident. It is very deliberate. The Lord Jesus is in this world as a shepherd of the sheep, and he's guiding us down pathways where we need to go. And we don't always know that ahead of time. And we are surprised oftentimes by the fierceness of the struggle, the battles that we encounter. But they should not be a surprise. We're on enemy territory. The devil has his share here in this life. He is ordering things according to the vicious tactics of unbelief and treason. But our great King knows exactly how to win this battle. And he is the one we must trust in. Woe to the Christian who tries to draw upon his own strength. We have none. The Lord Jesus has all the strength we need. If you will turn to Ephesians 6:10, Paul brings his great epistle to a close with this final paragraph. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There are seven imperatives in this last paragraph. And those imperatives give us our marching orders. The first one is this command, be strong in the Lord. All too often, the believer tries to plan his own pathway, tries to prepare his own heart that he may be strong to accomplish whatever the Lord wills. That's a noble purpose, but it is totally inadequate. You are facing an enemy who is far craftier than you are. He is an expert at derailing your good plans. He has many helpers lying in ambush, waiting to assault you along the pathway. And we don't know they're there. We're going blindly down that pathway. But there's a great deal waiting for us there that is hard to go through. Battles that are fierce, enemies that are very diabolical, and none of this is accidental. It has to be this way so that we would learn not to trust in ourselves. Now that's our temptation. We're taught from earliest ages to be self-reliant, to stand on our own two feet, you know, to take things as they come and do well by them all. And that's nice to be resourceful. But it is inadequate in the Christian life. Our adversaries are much, much stronger than we are. They're more numerous. They can lay diabolical plans for us that we would never dream of. We get ambushed at the drop of a hat. And many times the believer is kind of stunned by the fierceness of the battle. Why did all this have to happen? Why did my plans have to get, knocked into a cocked hat? Well, it shouldn't surprise us. The enemy hates us. He despises what we are trying to do. He is going to do his worst to see to it that we never achieve those purposes. Now, in the face of all that, we should not be disturbed. Why? Because we are in an army where our general is almighty. He is also all wise. He has laid the perfect battle plans. He has marked out the terrain on which we must fight our battles. He is with us in the battle. He is going to sustain us. And we can trust in him to win. If we trust in ourselves to win, we are going to be shattered. And all of us have to learn that. Self-confidence is one step away from disaster. For the Christian, it is trust in the Lord that wins. And we must see to it that we never waver on that point, that we never seek to achieve our own purposes by our own wisdom or our own strength. They are non-existent. Now, in the commands that we have here, be strong in the Lord. All right, that means turning to him for all the strength we need, not trusting in ourselves, not laying such perfect plans. No, it's not wrong to lay plans, but we have to be flexible, adaptable, because the Lord overrules. In any battle, in the midst of the conflict, the general may say, do this, march there, and so on. The troops don't question it, they go. And we have to be just as alert in the Christian life. When the door opens and the trumpet sounds, we've got to be ready to go through it. We've got to be prepared to face the enemy no matter what. And in our time today, where there is wickedness rampant in the land, where evil stalks everyone, you never know whether when you go to town, you'll come back alive or not. You may think that's kind of strange, but it's no longer strange. There are people who get shot down in their own homes, people who get wrecked on the way to the grocery store. There's all kinds of traps laid for God's people. But we have to recognize the Lord is in full control. There is not a single one of his people that ever dies prematurely. There is not a thing that the enemy can do to change the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our sovereign. He is the great general. And we can go to battle armed as he directs, with serene confidence. He will win. Our plans may not materialize as we expect, but his plans are going to be carried out perfectly, and by his grace, we may be part of those plans. So, God enables us to fight the good fight of faith. That's not something we crank up inside. And you don't win the battle by gritting your teeth and trying harder. You'll just lose again. Trusting in the Lord Jesus, turning to his word, filling your mind with the strength of Scripture, enjoying that peace that only he can impart. Doesn't matter how fierce the battle, the peace is there if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is fully able to take charge, to see to it that you win in those battles. So we must trust him for it. Now, Paul had no self-confidence at all. He had great abilities. He was a marvelous preacher. He had a staggering grasp of Scripture, but he had absolutely no confidence in himself at all. His whole trust was in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a good example for us all to follow. If we depend on our own abilities, our own skill, we're going to just go to pieces, as usual. But if we depend upon him, his grace is sufficient. He is able to cause us to win. Now, he exhorts here that we should be strong in the power of his might. He is piling up words here to make clear to us that the Lord Jesus has all power. He has everything necessary to equip us for the battle, to see to it that we win in the battle. And he alone can do this. If we start calculating on how we can arrange things ourselves, we'll make mistakes. We'll fumble and fail, but he never fails. He always achieves his purpose. And so our whole task must be to align ourselves with his will. to take His word as our marching orders, to see to it that we are obeying them, and to walk humbly in His directions. That gives us true peace in the face of any attack the enemy can launch. Now, in addition to this command, be strong, and all those words for the might and strength that He can supply us with, in verse 11, He commands again, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the evil plots of the devil. Now, in the ancient world, the Roman soldiers were the most efficient team of conquest that the ancient world knew. Now, they were a fearsome bunch for any army to face. They had good equipment. They learned how to use iron, not copper. And they had heavy iron equipment. And they were successful over the entire Mediterranean world. And that was a tremendous accomplishment for that day and time. I put a textbook on the usher's desk out there that gives you a graphic drawing of a Roman soldier and all the pieces of equipment that he was used to using. And some of you may find it interesting to go by and take a look at that on the way out. To run through them, piece at a time here, we're going to look at those different pieces of equipment. We have to recognize that this armor is armor against spiritual attacks. We're not thinking in terms of arming ourselves for physical warfare. That's a different category. The attacks that come our way oftentimes come entirely invisibly to us and to the rest of the people, and we only see them after they're sprung upon us. The devil is good at that. Those attacks oftentimes come when we least expect it. They're ambushes in the strictest sense of the term. The devil oftentimes knows our plans and decides ahead of time that he's going to assault them. So be braced for it. You are in no way able yourself to foresee his opposition or to detect what form it's going to take. But the Lord knows all that. And the Lord has already provided for you everything that you need. Most of what you need is right here in Scripture. When you hide the word in your heart, you're equipping yourself with armament that the devil cannot turn aside. The Scriptures are powerful enough to carry you through. The sword of the Spirit is a fearsome weapon. Now, for the Roman soldier, that sword was a great piece of equipment. It was heavy. It was not a light saber like cavalry officers carry in more modern times. But it was a true weapon that was a tremendous weight to swing. And that Roman soldier could behead an enemy with one swing of that sword if he was able to swing it the way he should. So it was something that was a fearsome weapon. Now that is the imagery for the word. Now I hope we all absorb that. The most fearsome weapon you can use in this warfare is God's holy word. It is a tremendous weapon. On the one hand, it puts to flight the enemy. The devil does not like you to read Scripture. He'll do his best to distract you from the Scripture, to get you to think that something else is equally important with Scripture, or even more important. But that's not the case. The Scripture is a tremendous weapon. When the devil suggests to you, this is what you need to do, and it's not the direction God wants you to take, you must not think, well, I need to just concentrate harder. That's a catastrophe. The devil has far greater powers of concentration than you have, and so his henchmen. When the attack comes, you need to turn right to Scripture and take the sword of the Spirit and start quoting Scripture to yourself. Now, this is one of the reasons that we keep repeating in church verses. That's not just to give you something to do in church. That is to fix something in your mind so that when the assault comes, you will have verses sitting there, ready to use, fresh in your memory. That is extremely important for believers. There are Christians who just simply try to luck it out. They just simply go along as though there were no battle going on and they had no reason to fear. But that is not Christian practice. This is warfare. The devil is not going to overlook you. His henchmen are not going to sidestep you. You're going to face them. He's going to see to it. Now, the answer is always Scripture. Open up Scripture if you have it with you. If you don't, start pulling things out of your memory. And that's why we keep repeating Scripture in church, so that your memory will be filled with the Holy Word of God. It is a tremendous resource. If it is fresh in your mind, as soon as the temptation comes, as soon as the attack is there, start quoting Scripture to yourself. Now, the devil has no answer to that, because what you're doing is quoting the truth of God, which always works, which is powerful enough to deliver you in any attack. And if you just keep quoting Scripture and concentrate your mind upon the Scripture, the attack passes, because the devil can't do any more than what he is allowed. And you quote the Scripture and you have thwarted his attempt. Now, that sounds easy. It is not, because he is very persistent. All too often, the Christian will quote the verse to himself and then feel, well, that's good, and then go on as though he hadn't quoted anything. You've got to keep it in your mind. You've got to let your mind dwell on that verse. Think about the powerful truth that is there, how it actually meets the need of that crisis you are facing. Let your mind dwell upon that. And as you think about it, that's where the strength comes from. And that's where the devil is defeated. So do not think that the Scripture is some kind of a magical charm. You just quote a verse and it's done. No, oftentimes it's going to be a solid battle of being able to keep that verse in mind or going down in defeat before the devil. Because he does not give up quickly. And he is not prepared to just run at the sight of you quoting Scripture. He is a good, skillful warrior, and he can distract you from the Scripture so you forget about it and you are a sitting duck once again. Do not forget. Do not stop quoting Scripture to yourself. It is a source of tremendous help and strength, especially in times of spiritual attack. So, the sword of the Spirit is a very important thing for us to take. But now, if we continue, in verse 13, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, every bit of it, not just one item, such as the sword, but the entire panoply that the Roman soldier wore. Now, when we put on that whole armor, we're equipping ourselves for all the different emergencies of the Christian life. And the need is not just that we have adversaries here in this world, that there are people who are opposed to us. And there are plenty of those. But verse 12 tells us where the real battle has to be fought. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Human beings are not really our enemy. We're fighting against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. Spiritual wickedness in high places. He's not talking about politically high places. He's talking about spiritually high places. There are spiritual angelic leaders in the spiritual realm who have great powers, and you must be prepared to face them, not in your strength, but in the Lord's strength. Now, this is something that every believer must recognize. We are not in a battle against human beings. They may be our enemies for whatever reason. Our battle is with spiritual principalities, demonic creatures who are tricky, crafty, who are skilled at distracting you from God's pathway, from distracting you from God's word. And when you open the Bible and start reading, that is not a time that they're going to run. They're going to do all they can to distract you from reading Scripture, to so create diversions that you will fail to get the spiritual strength out of it that you need. So, when you come to studying Scripture, expect distractions. Expect things to happen that will cut short your devotions or terminate your meditation upon Scripture, because the devil has a vested interest in accomplishing that, and his henchmen are highly skilled. Friends, we must recognize that this battle is something that goes on all our days. It's something that we have to practice continually, of thinking about the holy Word of God, letting our minds dwell upon the power and resources of Scripture. That is not something we can afford to let go of or just simply quit. Otherwise, we go down in defeat again. And we have to recognize, yes, we've lost many of those battles in the past. The devil has succeeded in drawing us away from the Scriptures, and consequently, we've slipped and fallen. And we have to recognize this is spiritual warfare, and it takes the grace and power of God to win that kind of war. Now, in verse 14, he says, "Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Now, that tells us that this is what is our protection, the truth. And we have to realize that the whole world lies in the arms of the wicked one, and that this deception that is inflicted upon the world is satanically inspired. When you read of the kind of vicious activity, say, of Muslim adherents, where these people think they are doing honor to Allah by torturing to death their opponents. Now, this is diabolic. This is demonic influence. And we have to recognize this is what is going on all over the world in false religions, where the devil is moving the people under his control in the wrong directions to do wrong things, and he's convincing them that what they're doing is right. That is deception. That's the trick of the devil. So many of these people have a perfectly good conscience. They don't know any better. They've been taught this. So, friends, we have to recognize that the world as it exists is accomplishing largely the work of the devil. And the things that are going on is his work. He prompts people to go in the wrong direction. He tempts them to do the wrong things. And many times he deceives them into thinking that it's the right thing to do. Now, when we open up Scripture, we find out something very different. God gives us timeless spiritual principles, moral teaching that will never vary. It is the truth of God. And when we base our life upon Scripture, and we act according to Scripture, now we may be sure that what we are doing is going to last forever, and that we can face the enemy with a good conscience and serenity because we stand upon this holy book. There is no other way to face the attacks of the devil. He is too tricky. He'll deceive you anyway. He will shift positions and make life difficult for you. But as long as you are thinking about the Scriptures, as long as you are meditating on this sword of the Spirit, he is powerless to do anything about it. It's when we forget, when we let our mind wander. And who has not done this, even in times of crisis? He is very crafty, and he is extremely patient. Friends, we must recognize that in the battles that we face in this world, we have only one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. Everything else mentioned here is defensive armor. But the sword is the one thing we have to use. There are no alternatives. Logic will not work. Determination will not work. Just the sword of the Spirit. So, friends, we must go first to the Scriptures. When the attacks come, it isn't that we just grit our teeth and hang on. We open up the book. We start to read. we start to draw upon the sword of the Spirit and let God use the sword to accomplish His purpose in our lives. In verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith is a shield to every believer. It is trust in the Lord, trust in His word, trust in His keeping power. This is very important. And without that shield, you're going to be badly wounded. The devil knows how to inflict damage. But when you are trusting in this powerful book, and that is your shield, you have perfect protection. The Scripture crowds out what is wrong. When you fill your mind with Scripture, and you let your mind meditate upon the Scripture, it is crowding out all the attacks of the devil, defeating them in your thinking processes, helping you to stand in the face of opposition or attack or whatever you're undergoing at the time. It is extremely important for us to recognize this and to recognize that the devil hopes above all things that we will let our minds wander, that we will forget about the Scriptures. But we must not forget the Scriptures. We must concentrate upon what they say. And let that powerful word defeat the enemy. There is no other way to win in a spiritual battle. In verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. All right, salvation is the helmet that protects your head. Obviously, that's a target for the enemy. If the enemy is swinging a sword, he's going to aim at your head. But with the helmet on, you could stand a full blow and not go down. The helmet of salvation. Unfortunately, there are people in the world who are deceived. They know the Bible. They know it's a good book. But they have never let the Lord Jesus into their heart. They just know Scripture is a good thing. And they'll read the Scripture because it's a good thing to do that. But they have not trusted personally in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is sad, because the Bible is not a talisman. It is not a charm. It's a sword. And you can't use it right unless you belong to the general's army. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gives you the ability to use this Scripture properly. And there are a lot of unsaved people who can quote the Scriptures. They've memorized them for whatever reason. But they're not trusting in it. They're not depending on what it says. It's just a good book with wise statements in it. You can't treat it that way and win the battle. You'll be defeated. You have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have to trust in this book as your whole grounds for salvation. There's nothing you can do, no works you can perform. He has to do it all, and the Scripture makes that eminently clear. It is the Scripture which is the helmet that protects your very life. Now we have to recognize that the devil will do all he can to cause us to forget these principles. But we must not forget. Our whole battle in this world depends on our ability to understand exactly what this paragraph is teaching. Life is warfare. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be adversaries. You're going to have difficulties. That's just a given. And we have to recognize the one resource we have is this holy book. There's nowhere else you can go for help. You can't go to the philosophers. They don't know a thing. You can't go to the scientists. They have no idea about spiritual warfare. There's no place to get help in a spiritual battle except the help of God revealed in Scripture, illuminated by His Holy Spirit. And when we rest upon this book and take into our hearts the truths of this book, now we are equipped, as Paul describes. And this is the place that we must take our stand. Armed by the Scriptures, holding the sword of the Spirit, the precious Word of God, we go forth to war. Now, when you face someone who's lost, and the Lord lays on your heart, witness to this person, the last thing you want to do is argue. That can go on forever. You never win a soul by logic. You open the Scriptures and start reading the Scriptures. That's what does it. It's the power of the Word that does it. You don't have to think about how logical you can be. Just what Scriptures you know. Open up the Scriptures. Let them do the work. That is everything. And we have to realize that our service must be service with the sword. The Scripture must be the weapon we use. Not argument, not logic. It's the Scripture that converts. It's significant that in verse 18, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Yes, praying, talking to the Lord about His Word. Praying that the Lord will use the Word that you quote to touch the hearts of people. This is the way the battle is fought. It's not done by sheer determination. It's not done by beautiful logic. It's not done by your intellect. It's done by the power of the Spirit of God. Taking the Word and applying it to the heart. It works in your heart. It'll work in others' hearts. This is the warfare that we have to use. And it's significant to me that in verse 19, an apostle says, pray for me also. Paul did not trust in his logic. He didn't trust in his ability as a preacher. He trusted in the prayers of God's saints. That's very important. So, the walk is warfare. There's no way to avoid it. Our enemies are everywhere. And instead of killing them, we're trying to convert them. A wholly different kind of warfare. And only God can arrange that. We can't. No one else can. There is no help in this word except God's holy word, the Bible. Your logic will never win a soul. Your argument will never straighten out the difficulties. God's word is everything. The sword of the Spirit is our weapon. Now, in verse 20, he says, I am an ambassador in bonds. And in a sense, so are we all. We're ambassadors for Christ to reach out to others, to give them the witness of the word, not just simply an argument that we can originate. It's not our logic that is important. It's the holy word of God that's important. We're ambassadors to reach others with this precious truth, that they might find out for themselves how powerful the Word of God is, how effective in defeating the devil, how wonderful in consolation and spiritual help in time of need. This book is everything. Now, friends, your pastors in this church need your prayers just as surely as anyone else. Pray for us as well. If Paul felt the need for the intercessions of God's people, we certainly do. And we must recognize together that as a church under God, we are here to have one weapon, the sword of the Spirit, one source of strength, the Holy Spirit of God. And we go forth to serve Him in faith and trust, knowing that He is going to win. And that His word is the perfect weapon for every attack of the devil. If there's one thing the devil fears above all, it's this sword of the Spirit. It has cut him down many times in the past. It can do it in the future. This word is the most powerful weapon you have. Friends, let's use it. Use it for ourselves. Use it to help others. Use it to defeat the devil as nothing else can. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, will you in your heart ask the Lord to give you a hunger and a thirst for His word that will know no bounds? and the skill to use that word to be a blessing to others and a strength in your own home, a strength in your own life. O Lord, hear thy people as they seek thy grace and strength. Help us in using thy word to fill our minds with its truth, to let it transform us, and by that grace to reach out to others and share with them the blessing of this holy book. Help us to use the sword of the Spirit as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Give us courage. Give us strength. By thy grace, use us that others may come to thee. For Jesus' sake. Amen.